The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Today's show is being recorded in front of a live studio audience here at Catalyst Con East in Washington, D.C. And my guest is writer, educator, and media maker, Tina Horn. Catalyst Con is an amazing sex-positive event that you simply do not want to miss. And the next one is September 11th to the 14th, 2014, at the Westin LAX in Los Angeles. Go to catalystcon.com for more information. And if you're going to register, use coupon code Tristan for $10 off your registration. Tina Horn is a writer, educator, and interdisciplinary media maker. She produces and hosts Why Are People Into That?, a brand new podcast. In 2010, she co-created, produced, and directed a project called Queer Porn TV. Tina holds an MFA in creative nonfiction writing from Sarah Lawrence College, and her writing has appeared in several Cleus Press anthologies, including Best Bondage Erotica 2010. She has also blogged for Vice, Helix Queer Performance Network, Fleshbot, and Gaga Stigmata, and published articles in The Believer, Aorta, and Whore magazines. Over the past 5 years, Tina's workshops have been featured at a variety of international venues, including Good Vibrations, Perverts Put Out, Red Umbrella Diaries, UC Berkeley, Lesbian Sex Mafia, and the Feminist Porn Conference. I am so excited to have her here on this early morning. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Tristan.
So the first way that I met you is through Queer Porn TV, mm-hmm. which you co-created. Mm-hmm. And it's won 2 Feminist Porn Awards. It won a CineKink Award. In addition to being nominated for an AVN Award, which is a really big deal because that's really the mainstream industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me how Queer Porn TV came about.
You know, so I was living, I live in New York City now, but I was living in the Bay Area at the time. And I had been doing sex work for 2 or 3 years, doing like private client professional BDSM, which is a fancy convoluted way of saying that I was a dominatrix. So I had been doing professional BDSM for a couple of years, and you know, professional BDSM, you know, yes, sometimes it means that I'm a dominatrix and I wear 6-inch stiletto leather boots and a leather corset and, you know, make people crawl around and call them useless worms and such. But there's also a lot of other things that I did, and it definitely called upon me to be very theatrical and very creative and to talk to a lot of different people about sex, and usually about things about sex that they didn't talk to anybody else about. And I was actually really lucky to be sort of like coming out as an exhibitionist, queer, kinky slut in the Bay Area during a little bit of a queer porn renaissance that happened in about like 2010. So I started, was working with my friend Lorelei Lee, and she kind of connected me to the right people, and I started performing in queer and kinky porn. And, you know, after doing that for about a year, I was like, okay, now I want to make it. And because that's just the kind of girl I am. So I went to Courtney Treble, who I had performed for a couple of times, and I said, hey, you know, like, I have this money that I've saved up from doing sex work. Like, if we were going to collaborate on something, you give me a crash course in everything about making porn and we'll, you know, put our heads together and make something. And she was like, yes, let's do something called Queer Porn TV. And I was like, great. So we did that for a couple of years. And, you know, Queer Porn TV was really great because, you know, we knew so many people who were really eager to talk about their sexuality and their gender identity and talk about a lot of things that I think that people aren't talking about. Mm-hmm. And then also to do what essentially I think of as performance art that kind of puts all of that talk into practice. And, you know, people are, we knew so many people who were willing to be so generous in that way and so creative and so bold. So we really just facilitated that. And then, you know, within six months of launching, we won a Feminist Porn Award, and then we were nominated for Best Alternative Website at the AVMs, which is kind of like,
it's like making this really indie film, you know, like on the fringes of society, and then being nominated for an Oscar, essentially.
Exactly. And I also kind of think of the idea of like alternative porn is like, you can't, you know, it's like being a vegetarian. It's like, you can't eat or you don't want to eat real porn. So, you know, you need, it's like, we're like the tofu of porn, right? we're like an alternative, or we're like, you know, like the alternative rock of porn. Or like Lollapalooza. Anyway, so we did that for a couple of years, and then I decided, I was in my Saturn returns, if your listeners know what that means, and I really decided that I wanted to move to New York and go to grad school. And so we decided that I would sort of expand Queer Porn TV east, because there's actually not a lot of queer porn on the East Coast.
Well, there's
at all.
Not a lot of porn on the East Coast, period.
Not a lot of porn, yes, that's right, exactly. And so we did that, and then, you know, so we did that for a while, and then we sort of, you know, Courtney and I had, like, done everything equally for a really long time, and really, I think, like, seen eye to eye for a really long time as collaborators, and we kind of started to have, like, differences in, like, where we wanted to see the project go, so we sort of decided to go our separate ways, and that was a couple of years ago now.
But I'm curious about something you said, which is that you consider porn performance art. I don't know that everyone out there would even understand what you meant. Often I'm kind of faced, you know, I just spoke about porn on a college campus and someone got up and raised their hand and said something like, well, you know, everyone uses porn for just one thing, and it's, you know, to get off. And so, and then kind of continued their question from there. And I was like, okay, hold the phone.
Yeah.
That's actually not the only reason people watch porn. And so I'm curious how you conceptualize it as a form of sexual performance art. Take me through that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first thing that I want to say is that, you know, if we talk about porn, particularly like from the performer's perspective, from any way other than, you know, they're making something to appeal to someone's prurient interests, you know, I never want to undervalue the performers as sex workers. That's something that's very important to me. So, you know, when I say performance art, I also want to remind people that we should take performance artists seriously. Which is, you know, sometimes requires a disclaimer. So, you know, and if somebody is using their sex work or their porn performance as activism, as I have definitely always thought of it, or as, you know, even some kind of journalism, as I have often thought of it, or if they're using it, even, you know, if they consider it to be art, it's still a job, it's still labor, and it's still work. And that's definitely something that I always want to fold into that. That being said, in a way, I'm very sheltered when it comes to porn. You know, I've done a little bit of mainstream. I've done a little bit of, you know, going to LA and, you know, shooting for larger companies. But for the most part, my experience of making porn has really, you know, felt like a bunch of friends making erotic movies, or, you know, whether education is the explicit intention, you know, as we also did with Queer Porn TV, made free educational shorts, or, you know, again, activism or art, or whatever the intention is, you know, it really always was like very focused on community and authenticity and feeling relaxed and being ethical, and that, you know, that was always infused in everything, that in all the experiences that I had as a performer before and after I also became a producer and a director. You know, I shooting for Shine Louise Houston and Crash Pad and shooting for Courtney and, you know, and shooting for Madison Young, you know, I really was always kind of given a platform to say what I wanted to say about sex, literally, verbally, in, you know, extensive interviews that always happen before or after the sex when you're fuck drunk and you're like, this is the time that I have the least amount to say about sex or anything. I just want to take a nap.
I know the post sex interview is always, it's always hysterical and funny, but it there's not a lot of, people are really, can be super high and kind of out of it.
It can be good, I think, actually, especially for somebody like me who tends to be very cerebral about sex. I think that probably it's a good idea to interview me after I've been fucking, because then I'm like, oh, you know, what's my analysis? It's good. Everything's great. But no, so yeah, actually, I mean, that's an example of something that I always brought as with my experience as a performer and as a sex worker to directing and producing, was I was like, okay, we're going to do the interviews first, and then you're going to fuck, and then you can go home.
Right.
So anyway, going back to your question, so as a director, I think that, you know, I definitely took a page from Shine Louise Houston. Her like total hands-off directing style is the thing that always made me feel most comfortable as a performer. It really is magic what she is able to do. I, you know, in the 5 or 6 times that I've shot for Crash Pad, I always at some point forget that there are cameras there. And there's a camera like, you know, a few inches from my
right.
face or it's, cooch or whatever.
It's,
you know?
It's hard to do.
It's really, it's challenging. And, it helps, and this is another important point, you know, it helps that that 100% of the time I was shooting with somebody that I wanted to shoot with, that was my lover or my friend or just, you know, somebody that I also knew that we could like really bring it and kind of like spar as sex geeks. And, so really with QPTV, every single time we commissioned these performances and we would talk to somebody, we'd be like, we want to work with you. Who do you want to work with? And, you know, in the case of, and sometimes, you know, play Yenta a little bit and like be matchmakers, sometimes with amazing results. I mean, one of our most popular scenes and one of my favorite scenes that I ever, participated in as a producer director was Wolf Hudson and James Darling. And they, you know, Wolf, is an amazing cis male performer who has performed in both, you know, scare quotes with porn genres like straight and gay.
And both mainstream and independent.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is shocking, you know, getting to be friends with Wolf, it really taught me so much about how shocking it is, the assumptions that people in those different industries make about one another. That's another conversation or something to ask him about. But he came to us and he was like, I really want to do a scene with a trans man, because I've never done that. And, you know, trans men are hot. And like, what about James Darling? And we were like, we just so happen to have his phone number. And I, you know, I was living in this apartment, with a bathtub with a skylight. And I was like, Courtney, we're shooting in my bathtub. And she was like, I don't know. It's going to be. I was like, no. While I live here, we are shooting and we're going to shoot our gay porn scene
in the bathtub.
And, you know, I mean, kudos to Wolf and James, because actually, if you've ever had sex in a bathtub, it's really, it seems, it's like sex on the beach, right?
It's really hard.
It seems
so sexy
hot,
going
right?
into it, but then it's like slippery and
no traction.
A hard surface that you could hit your head on and there's water and yeah.
But the skylight meant that there was natural light on them. And, you know, yeah. I mean, honestly, all of those scenes, I mean, I look at them now and I mean, the thing about being an indie pornographer is that you shoot in your bedroom and, you know, when you're a two-person company, that's two bedrooms to choose from, you know, and then you have your roommates being like, you know, like, hey, can we, cool, yeah, and then it's like, will you mind if we shoot in the living room? Okay, and, you know, and I moved around a little bit during that time, luckily, because, you know, but I look at those scenes now, I'm like, anybody who is a fan of mine probably, you know, will figure out that when you see the room with all the same, it's like a different room, but all the same records are in it and all the same like comic books are in it and, you know, and the same, you know, posters.
You just moved your shit to
I just moved
place.
My shit, you know, yeah. And like, it's like, wow, they set this, you know, they dress this set. Really, they keep dressing this set so similarly. It's like, yeah,
that's my stuff.
That's my stuff, yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a lot more to talk about.
Totally.
But we've got to take a break.
Okay.
And hear from our fantastic sponsors,
yay,
including my main presenting sponsor, Good Vibrations. Good Vibrations is one of the original sex positive sex stores, and you can go and visit their stores all over the Bay Area or in Brookline, Massachusetts. Or you can go to goodvibes.com. And while you're there, use coupon code Tristan for 15% off your order. Stay with us. More with Tina Horn when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Hi, this is Tristan from Sex Out Loud. I've been teaching anal sex workshops for more than 15 years, and when men ask me about prostate toys, it's easy. I always recommend Aneros. Aneros pioneered prostate health and pleasure products. Their quality and design is unmatched. Whether you're a beginner or an anal expert, Aneros is simply the best. You can get 15% off and free shipping on orders over $75 by using coupon code BETTERSEX at Aneros.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking today with Tina Horn, and we are talking in front of a live studio audience at Catalyst Con.
They're so gorgeous.
There's kind of a rowdy audience. I mean, if you could see them, you would
understand. They started early.
Yes, exactly. So I guess I want to know if you ever envision making more porn.
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I really like porn and I really like making porn. I kind of feel like if I was going to make more porn, I would really need a bigger budget. And when I was younger, I'm basically, this whole weekend is my like old queen moment. So this is the first of many old queen moments.
Okay.
I'm 31. So when I was in my younger days, you know, I'm a diehard punk and that means more than just listening to The Clash for me. It does mean listening to The Clash for sure. You know, it's definitely an ethos and an approach to everything I do. And I definitely kind of had a no future out, you know, creating outside of a profit motive, motivation for everything that I've always done, including my forays into sex work for the past 7 years. And I still feel that way. However, I also feel that I know so many really talented people who work really hard, and I think that they deserve to be paid for how hard they work.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I'll tell you right now that I've had a fantasy of directing, of adapting Pat Califia, story from Macho Sluts, and like, you know, turning that into like an epic, like dom gangbang, super kinky, super queer
scene. This is the group sex scene in Macho Sluts. If you haven't read Macho Sluts, it's one of the quintessential dyke BDSM short story collections. Yeah. I mean, it inspired anyone who's ever written BDSM fiction, I think. I mean, it's
absolutely.
And it holds up, by the way.
It really does. It really does. And I, you know, so it would be great to do something like that where there are like lots of different people with lots of different bodies and lots of different identities and lots of different backgrounds. And, you know, that would be really fun. And I can think of people like my friend Max Wallander, who's a photographer and filmmaker who would really like to work with. You know, and I'd love to, you know, with QPTV, it was really about being raw and using the community, having the community come together and facilitating conversations and facilitating performance art. And that was really great. And I loved the sort of the slapdash nature of it. And it, you know, it got it up there and people started giving us energy back. And I really fed off of that energy. But I think that if I was going to do porn again, I would want to be like very patient and professional about, not that I wasn't professional before, but like much more, you know, thinking about things like budgets and things like, you know, everything down to the nitty gritty. So maybe that'll happen one day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as someone who was born in Northern California, and it seems like you were smack dash in the middle of, you know, what you said was a queer porn renaissance, what was it like to move to New York City?
People laugh at me when I say that I moved to New York to get some peace and quiet. But
it is the least quiet place on the face of the earth, as far as I'm concerned.
It is, but
people yell in New York even when they're not mad.
I love that though. That's what I'm saying. I mean, but yeah, you know, I mean, I did know some folks already in New York, but I, you know, and I wanted to go to grad school and I really just kind of wanted to concentrate. And I actually concentrate. I'm the kind of person who works better in a coffee shop than a library, you know, like in terms of like working on my laptop.
And the
writing,
bustle
creative,
and the, exactly, yeah, the, yeah, movement around you. Right.
Yeah. So New York is like the ultimate version of that. And I found an amazing, I mean, it really was amazing to sort of transplant my uproot and transplant myself in my late 20s to New York City and be like, you know, because I'm queer and because I'm a sex worker and because I'm a punk, I had all these communities that absolutely, it was not an exaggeration to say that they welcomed me with open arms. And so that's been really great.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you're also a sex educator and you teach on a topic which we need to talk about now, which is dirty talk.
Yes.
Here's the thing that I know, okay? As someone who has produced events for decades and as someone who teaches, a dirty talk workshop on the conference schedule is always a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always jam-packed.
Mm-hmm.
You can never go wrong with a dirty talk workshop. People love that shit. They eat that up. They want it. They want more of it.
Mm.
And I'm wondering how you, I mean, if you teach it, you must love it.
Have you watched any of my porno?
I have. You have a filthy mouth.
I do.
It's wonderful. But I think the thing that holds people back around dirty talk is just getting started, yeah, letting loose, being uninhibited, it's, you know, totally being true, afraid to open their mouths. So how did you get to a place that not only are you this fabulous dirty talker, but you teach people how to dirty talk?
Like, I'll give you, going back to talking about shooting for Crash Pad, I mean, I'll give you an example. I shot a scene with my good friend Maggie Mayhem for Crash Pad several years ago, and we talked about it beforehand, and we were like, we don't really want to role play. We just want to fuck. Like, we really just wanted to, like, have, like, raw, wild animal sex. And we definitely did. But then afterwards, Shine was like, that is the best dirty talk that I have ever heard. God, you guys just did not stop volleying back and forth with all that dirty talk. And we looked at each other. We were like, did we? Were we? Did we talk dirty? God, we didn't even realize it. So, for, you know, Maggie and I are examples of people that are, you know, and Maggie's a writer and a speaker, too. So, you know, we're... I don't mean to sound like an asshole, but it is one of those things that for me is like the most natural thing in the world. So, but then people, you know, as a sex worker, people started noticing it and I started to become known for it. And then people started asking me, how do I do it without feeling silly? How do I do it without feeling awkward? How do I do it without feeling stupid?
Mm-hmm. And all of those things. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I had to really stop and stand back and kind of ask my, you know, it was kind of like I knew a language and I didn't know the grammar of it, you know, because I had like learned it naturally. So I had to be like, okay, what is the grammar of dirty talk? What is the syntax of dirty talk? And, you know, I mean, I have some tips that I talk about in my workshop. You know, an example of one is thinking of the past, present, and the future, right? You can always narrate what's happening. You can always talk about something that you're gonna do to somebody. You can always talk about something that you did to somebody. So the example I like to give for that is, I'm fisting you. I'm going to fist you. I fisted you. All three of those things work really well. And, you know, if you come to my classes, we can talk about like different scenarios where you can say, I fisted you. But, you know, that's an example. And, you know, I mean, another really big one is compliments. You know, people, even people who are like, oh, I don't like to, you know, compliments make me uncomfortable. It's like, you like to be told that you give good head. You like to, especially in while you're doing it or like afterwards when you're lying there, you know, but like, oh, baby, you did that so good. And you're just like,
who doesn't like that?
Yeah. Even if you're a little shy about it, like, you like it. Inside.
And the other thing too, I think, is just basic compliments also about your body.
Yeah, absolutely.
How you look.
Your hair looks great tonight while you suck my cock.
Amazing.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, we could just do it right now.
Yeah, I think we just were.
Oh.
Okay.
We need to take a break. Not because I want to stop talking dirty with you. That's totally, it's totally the opposite, actually.
Yeah.
It's that we have to take a commercial break.
Okay.
So we're going to hear from our sponsors. How am I going to do a segue into this? Well, something that goes perfect with dirty talk is sex toys.
Yes.
And WeVibe makes some of the greatest, most technologically advanced sex toys on the planet. Go to WeVibe.com, find out more. They're here at Catalyst Con, and they're giving away toys. So it's a great company, great products. They go well with dirty talk. So don't go anywhere. We might keep talking dirty to you. No, I promise, we will. So stay with us.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California. and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I am here at Catalyst Con East in Washington, D.C., talking with writer, sex educator, and media maker, Tina Horn. Okay, Tina, the next thing that we need to talk about is your podcast.
Yay!
Okay, you've started this new podcast.
Yes.
Called
Why Are People Into That?
Why are people into that?
I loved your inflection on it when you were introducing it. In the beginning, you kind of stopped, and there was like thunder, and you were like,
why are people into that?
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me about this podcast.
Well, I mean, I had the idea for the podcast when I was still in grad school, and so it really has been germinating for a year. And, you know, I love radio. I mean, I've been telling this story a lot lately. Like, when I was a little kid, I had a little boombox, and I would sit in my closet and record my radio show. And when my friends would come over to play, I would be like, they'd be like, hey, do you want to play Barbies? I'd be like, no, you're going to be a guest on my radio show. And I would dub, you know, songs like off the radio, and I would dub like the same Mariah Carey song like 5 times in a row and like mix it. I would like mix 2 boombox. I was super nerdy about it. So I was like, this will be a really good platform to talk about sex. And then the other thing that's great about it is that, you know, even though I wanted a project that I was sort of, you know, the master of, the thing that's really great, as you know, about having a podcast is that you can have a different guest every time. And so you have the opportunity to have conversations and to collaborate in that way. And always keep switching it up. So Why Are People Into That is really just a pretense to pick a different subject that has to do with sexuality, and it's so the theme kind of leaves it so open, and then to have a different guest who is in some way an expert in that subject.
Okay, well, I know one of the shows that you did, well, actually, I think you did 2 episodes on role play.
Yeah, because, yeah, so with Melina Williams, and we, super surprisingly to anyone who knows Melina or me, once we got started talking about role play, we were like, oh, it's been 2 hours.
So. Oops. Yeah, part 1, part 2.
And so I kind of decided, I mean, that's one thing that's really great about being the master of your own domain. And I was like, well, it's my fucking podcast, so I'm going to make it 2 different episodes. And so I split it into 2 sections.
So as you know, I edited this book called The Ultimate Guide to Kink.
I did. I actually totally talked about it in my intro to the, because that was where I first realized that Melina was a role play expert.
Oh, yeah. She certainly is. And so she has 2 chapters in that. And, you know, I've taught workshops about role play. I know a thing or two about role play. I want to know what some of your favorite role plays are.
Yes.
Like, let's just fire them away here.
I did a blog post about this, actually, for this episode of the podcast. You know, being in professional BDSM, one thing that was really, I mean, I've long been saying that being a dominatrix is the best paid improv gig in town. And, you know, it's cheesy, but it's true. you know, doing that work, you know, a client who maybe I've seen him before, or maybe they're like a perfect stranger, but they come in and they're like, I have this fantasy. And then you just fucking make it happen, you know, and sometimes you have a costume and sometimes you don't. And sometimes you're in a room that is like really incongruous with the, you know, you're being like a satanic nun and you're like in a, in a like rubber room and you're like, why is the nun being possessed by the devil in the rubber room? Just go with it, you know? And you know, the power of the human imagination is so amazing. And I saw so much magic happen and made so much magic happen. And I love the feeling of concentrating so much in a role play. And then when you don't even know who you are, and you look at this person who you maybe you know and you maybe you don't, and you like don't recognize them all of a sudden because they've embodied this character so much. So anyway, that's not the answer to your question though. The answer to your question is, what are my favorite role plays? I mean, I love explicit power dynamics. I think there's something about the babysitter that is very multifaceted. You know, sometimes let's say I'm the babysitter and I'm babysitting your kid. Okay. The kid has nothing to do with it, just for the record. And, you know, you come home and you catch me, like, I've had my boyfriend over and I've been fucking in your bed and you're pissed. You know, so you send the boyfriend packing. Maybe you spank him, depending on, you know, if he's there.
Right.
Yeah. And or maybe you tie him up and you make him watch while you do horrible things to me or wonderful things to me,
right.
You know, as the case may be, you know, or maybe I just, you know, I'm the babysitter and I'm snooping and I discover something that I can use to blackmail you and then I can use you, you know. So there's like this element, your eyes are getting big as saucers.
Yeah, I'm totally there with you. This is really good. This is good. You're the only one, because we're sitting across from each other, uh-huh. that could see that. Uh-huh. So you mm-hmm. totally just
I
gave it
you.
Away.
I've,
yeah.
Yeah.
To my audience.
Tristan Taramina's a little pervy.
big shocker to everyone out there.
Breaking news. So I love that, and I do I had a client. I mean, I don't just do role plays at work, but I had a client who I say this very lovingly, just I don't know if he was a community theater director, but he acted like one, and he would come into the dungeon and be like, oh, hello, Tina. Oh, how have you been, my darling? Well, today I was sort of thinking that I'm in a sort of science fiction mood, so. So, you know, like, how about your, you know, you and I have come from a planet far away to find the sluttiest slut on the planet Earth to take her back into our harem. And I'm like, all right, I got my Barbarella boots on. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the thing to remember is that all of these, you know, masks, whether you're literally wearing a mask or not, I think really, and I talk about this when I teach classes in role play as well, that they're really just something that you're dressing up something more fundamental, right? So you're dressing up a power dynamic. You're dressing up a persona or a character or a behavior that you want. And Melina talked a lot, and I talked a lot about on the episode of Why Are People Into That, the Why Are People Into Role Play, about how it liberates you from doing things that maybe you're not sure you're ready to do, but it's not you.
Right.
You're a pony, you know.
Yeah.
You're a puppy. You're, you know, you're older than you are. You're a different gender than you are. You're somebody who is mean and cruel, or somebody who is vulnerable. You know, like maybe if we're, you know, as women, we want to, you know, be extra sure that we show people that we're really tough and we're really capable and we're really alpha, we're really type A. And sometimes having an excuse of being like, well, what if I was somebody who, you know, only lived in the moment? Or what if I was somebody who was really vulnerable? Or what if I was somebody who had no choice because of this scenario?
Mm-hmm.
It can be really liberating, and then you can let go, and then, you know, you can psychologically go to places that you might not go to if you're too distracted by thinking about yourself or your life or the dishes or whatever.
Well, I think this is where the sort of structure equals freedom, mm-hmm. even though it sounds contradictory, is like this structure, if you put in place this situation and this idea that you have no other choice, or you have to punish the person, or you have to take your punishment, or they broke into your house. You're helpless.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever the scenario is, it does give people a certain level of freedom, and it feels like maybe permission.
Absolutely.
To go to some places erotically, sexually, that they might not be able to go as themselves, as the person that they move in the world as.
And going back to what we were saying before about dirty talk and how people are tentative because they're worried about being awkward or silly, role play can do the same thing where, you know, if I can encourage people to do one thing, it's to try to see what they can do about letting go of being worried about being awkward or silly. Because when you start just kind of like letting the spirit move you and running your mouth off and saying the next thing that comes into your head, actually, once everybody's really aroused, the more ridiculous your free association, the hotter it seems, you know, and then afterwards you can look back and be like, why did I say that? But you did.
But you can analyze it in therapy later.
You know, or you can, I find more often than not, you have no need to analyze it in therapy later because you just kind of did, you know, you like worked it out and then you came or you made someone come or whatever. So I find it can be very cathartic. And
absolutely. Yeah. And I have had experiences where like in the heat of the moment, like I've been spinning some scenario and then I've gone in a direction. I'll never forget this one thing where it was like I was doing a role play and I was like, we were talking dirty back and forth to each other. And I was like, and then you're going to do this to me. And then you're going to do this to me. And then you're going to invite five of your friends over to do this to me. And the person I was with was like, what? And I was like, oh, too much? I'm sorry. Is that not where you wanted to? Okay. That's cool.
And then you just redirect.
But I didn't feel like shame or I just felt like, oh, like we were on two different pages and I went to a place and it like took it to a level that just somehow triggered something that was like, no, wait, my friends are not coming over. Which of course they weren't, but in the moment. And I laugh about it now and there's a moment there where you go, oh, what did I just say? And then you just go on.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot to lose. I guess I want people to know when they role play.
Yeah.
There's not, you know what I mean? You go for it. And even in the most outlandish situations, just go for it.
Yeah. You gotta laugh. You gotta expose the absurdity of sexuality. It's a good way to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not take yourself too seriously.
Okay. Well, let's take another break after that. I've been thinking about that a little bit. Okay. And we're going to hear from our sponsors who make this show possible, so you should support them, including Astroglide. You can get a free sample of Astroglide by going to astroglide.com. So go there now on your break while you listen to the commercials. And when we come back, more with Tina Horn.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide Personal Lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle. And so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com.
Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking today with sex educator, writer, and media maker, Tina Horn. Tina, by the time that this episode airs, we will have just left Toronto at the Feminist Porn Conference at the University of Toronto. And you're on a panel there about sex worker self-care and allyship. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about your work in sex work and then becoming an advocate for other sex workers.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I have been a sex worker for 7 years, and there's always been things going in tandem with that for me. You know, I used to make a zine that I handed out to folks in the Bay Area about my observations about the sex industry. And you know, and I was always very interested in, you know, in teaching workshops and sharing knowledge and all of that. And I really love conferences. I'm a total conference nerd. I really feel like it's important to have people who have done sex work or continue to do sex work facilitating those conversations. You know, the thing that we say in our blurb about that workshop is that feminist porn is awesome, and in order to produce feminist porn, you need feminist sexual labor. But then the question is, what does feminist sexual labor look like? And so we really want to explore that. And I think that sex workers knowing how to advocate for themselves, knowing their rights, and taking care of themselves. So there's the politics to it, and there's a human element to it as well. And then also talking to there are a lot of folks at the Feminist Porn Conference who aren't sex workers, like producing or directing, or even being, you know, there are a lot of professors at the Feminist Porn Conference who are like the one sex professor at their college, right? So right. I think that they have to navigate some of the same things that sex workers navigate, and that's an opportunity for empathy and allyship and sharing, you know, tools that we both use. But I also, the thing that's most important to me is that, you know, sex worker stigma is the same for feminist sex workers as it is for sex workers who are not perceived as feminist or don't work in a feminist idiom or don't self-identify as feminist. You know, somebody who's going to fire you for a job is not going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you're a feminist sex worker.
Oh, you worked in feminist porn?
Oh, you know, I'll just give you a raise instead. No, yeah, no, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think that more conversations need to happen around that. And I'm definitely doing a lot of writing and a lot of speaking about that right now. It's a very, very important subject to me.
Well, and I heard you just signed a contract with a publisher to write what you call a handbook for the modern sex worker.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, I literally signed the contract this week, so it's very early rumblings, so I can't say much, but so there's a new small press called 3L that approached me about doing a book, and I immediately was like, I want to make a really practical guidebook for the modern sex worker. Because, you know, when I was a baby hoe, you know, I had like the Happy Hooker, you know, and Carol Queen's books and, you know, the great books, you know, and, you know, lots of really great resources. But I was also very lucky in terms of what I had access to being a, you know, a queer sex worker in the Bay Area. So you know, it's going to be really practical. And it's going to be for sex workers, you know, naturally, like people who want to, you know, perhaps who are, you know, whore lovers or partners of sex workers, or, you know, want to be good community members to the folks who, you know, might be a part of their community who happen to be sex workers. I think we'll find a lot about sexuality and about work you know, and it's going to be political, and it's going to be pragmatic, but I'm a funny guy, and, you know, I care about being entertaining, and I care about being accessible. So I also think that it's going to be not a light read per se, but definitely a fun read. And, you know, there'll be like chapters about shoes, and then there'll be chapters about like money, and there'll be chapters about, you know, knowing your rights and all kinds of stuff. And I'm definitely going to do a lot of reporting and talk to a lot of different people and get a lot of different folks' voices in there. So it's not just like Tina Horn's.
No, I think this is going to be good. You know, I was just at the Five College Queer Gender and Sexuality Conference. I was co-keynoting with Jiz Lee, a very famous genderqueer performer. And I was actually surprised at the number of questions from the audience, from students who said, I am considering sex work, but I already have a particular political agenda. I am thinking about how I will be represented, how my race and ethnicity may be represented, how I can navigate feeling empowered in different situations. I mean, they were complicated questions.
Yeah.
And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if someone could tackle this so that if someone, in fact, is considering sex work, they can pick up a book and say, okay, someone's thought about this. I think we have a question from an audience member.
Hi, my name's Katie. I'm from New York. I was wondering if you could give us an example of what a chapter would look like if I was to open the book at random. Could you give me some structure and outline?
Yeah, structure. I'm all about structure. I'm all about process. You know, I like sat down and wrote an outline. Like I was saying, you know, there's like money, you know, gear, and then you know, and then there'll be okay. So maybe in the chapter on gear, you know, there might be a section about you know, maybe like a little bit of an anecdote from my life, or an anecdote from you know, the life of somebody that I've done some reporting with. You know, I wrote my master's thesis on sex workers, and you know, it's creative nonfiction, so it was, you know, a little bit of experiential stuff and a little bit of reporting as well. So that's kind of what the book is going to look like. You know, maybe there'll be a story from me. Maybe there'll be a little bit of, you know, a list of things that, you know, every whore should have in her bag and
in her,
you know,
toolbox.
Exactly. And, you know, and every, you know, an outfit that everybody should have. And, you know, and then considerations like, you know, it's really important to have a lot of really cheap things, like a lot of like really cheap panties. But then it's important to have one or two pieces of really, really nice gear, and then take some really good pictures in that really nice gear. And then you will probably get a client being like, oh, she has a lot of self-respect, and she clearly is really good at her job because she can afford that really nice stuff, and that makes me want to buy her more nice stuff. And then you have more nice stuff, and then you can take more pictures in the nice stuff. I mean, that doesn't happen for everybody, but that's definitely an example of something that's happened for me. And so, you know, I think that, I mean, when I was starting out as a sex worker, I did not know how to attach a garter belt to a stocking. I literally was like, how do you do this?
And you didn't go to femme school? I learned that at femme school.
I didn't go to femme school. I didn't. You know, and I didn't own a pair of high heels. But you know, I found a shoe fetishist on Craigslist who wanted to buy me heels, you know, and I still have those shoes. And I learned, you know, I learned how to walk in them, and you know, all that stuff. So I definitely was like, you know, like a scrappy little boy who like learned how to be like a, you know, powerful money making baller high femme.
On that note, I want to congratulate Katie, our member of the studio audience, because for asking that question, you have won your choice of any strap-on harness from Sports Sheets. That's a tradition here at Sex Out Loud. We give a prize away every week from Sports Sheets.
Do they make those thigh harnesses?
You can get any harness you want. Tina Horn, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh my God, it's been my pleasure. I'm such a little fanboy right now.
Tina Horn is a writer, educator, media maker, and the producer and host of the new podcast, Why Are People Into That? Find out more at whyarepeopleintothat.com. Follow her on Facebook and Twitter at Tina Horn's Ass. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me at puckerup.com and on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor on the board today, Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of Sex Out Loud. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/asktristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.